Hi, everybody. I'm an addict. My name is Mike. And obviously, audio-visual challenge. In our program, we say there are no big I's and no little U's, that we're all equal. I believe that, but I'm really grateful that when I was feeling small, the speaker you're about to hear had time for me. I'm only supposed to introduce, so I'm not supposed to share, so I better cut it there. And although she needs no introduction, she deserves one, if only for what she's done for me. Without any further ado, I give you Doreen P. Well, good evening, everybody. My name is Doreen. I'm a very grateful recovering addict. And it's truly good to be here, you know, this evening. You know, y'all have to really help me out a little bit here, you know, because the mother's getting up in age now, you know. And my mind is not my friend sometimes. But just to give you a little bit about myself and, you know, how I got here and what happened. I was listening to a lot of the speakers earlier today, you know. And I'm from Washington, D.C. And what happened, I used drugs for a long time, you know. And I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. I wanted a new way of life, and I just didn't know how to get started. And what happened, when Martin Luther King, they had the march or something in D.C. Anyway, I got locked up that time. It was last and possible damn time, you know, that I got locked up in Washington, D.C. And I was saying to myself, well, I'm just tired. I need to get my life together. I want to get my life together. But how was I going to get my life together, you know? And sitting over in that jail, you know, I got to thinking about things, you know. And naming it, you think of what did she do when she was out there. I did everything that I could to get the wear the pants that I needed for my body. I was a prostitute. I did everything under the sun. But I got to the point where I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. So when I went over to jail at that time when they had that ride, that was back in about 60-something, 65 or 66 or so. And I come out and I said, I'm going to try to get my life together, you know. And I just didn't know, once an addict, they say always an addict, you know. But anyway, I came out and I tried to do the right thing. And by alcohol being accepted by society, you know, it was all right to drink. And little did I know back there at that time, I was a person with addictive personality. I did not like to feel anything, you know. So when I started drinking when I got out, I didn't like alcohol. I didn't like the way it smelled. I didn't like the way it tasted. I didn't like the way it burned going down. So therefore, when I got me a little drink, called myself a little drink, I got a big glass like this, and I must fill it halfway up with alcohol and maybe put a little bit of soda in between there. So the first drink that I took was damn near knocked me out, you know. And I found myself very happy, you know, and going on, you know. And I just didn't like the way that it made me feel, you know. But I couldn't stop. Because for one thing, I did not know who this woman was, you know. And I didn't know how to find out who this woman was, you know. So anyway, I started drinking for quite some time and determined that I'm not going to use any more drugs and everything, because I was tired of going to jail. I was tired of sticking needles in my arm, and I was just tired of the whole gamut, you know. And so I come out, and I began to start getting myself together, and I stopped using drugs and hard drugs, I say, back in, nothing else, M68, something like that. But, like I said, I started drinking because alcohol was accepted by society, so. And I wound up getting me a little job or so, you know. And like I said, the alcohol was accepted, so I started drinking. And I got to the point where, you know, I was having blackouts, you know. I was breaking up places. I didn't know where I was, you know, or how I got there. My car, I couldn't find out where my car was and everything, you know. And I woke up one morning, and somebody's been and asked me what I wanted for breakfast. I said, man, what you doing in my house? My husband knows in a few minutes, you know. So he said, baby, you know, I ain't in your house, you're in my house. I said, oh, shit. I said, Lord, it's something that's got to happen here. You know, I had to really get myself back together here. But I just didn't know how, you know. And I was working in a drug aftercare program at the time, you know. And what happened is that we used to have meetings and things in this program and everything, and I could counsel and everything, and but things still wasn't right for me, you know. I just didn't feel right or so, you know. And like on the weekends, you know, I would stop drinking during the week, but on the weekend I would go in the liquor store, and the man at the store, he'd either put a fifth or a half gallon up on the counter, you know. If it was payday, I'd get a half gallon. If it wasn't payday, I'd get a fifth for the weekend, you know. And so I got to the point, I said, this has got to stop. I have got to get myself together. I just cannot keep on going on like this, you know. And I met a friend that used to be an addict. And the last time I seen him, he was pushing a car with bottles and everything in it, you know. And but he looked so good and so distinguished looking, you know. And I went up to him, I said, whoa, well, I said, hey, Jack, I said, well, you damn, you really look good. You think you look juicy, but you do. I said, well, I work here, mama. And he said, well, okay, then I got to talking. And I said, well, you ain't drinking enough no more. He said, no. And he happened to have that little black book in his hand, you know, that AA had, you know. And he said, well, I go to this fellowship, you know. And I said, well, what is that, you know? So he told me about the fellowship, you know. And I said, well, you know, I've been drinking a lot, and I'm trying to stop. He said, well, yeah, read this. So I read that, and I liked what I was reading in there. So he said, I'll call you if you want to go to a meeting. I'll take you to a meeting. I said, well, fine, you know. One way he called me, and I went to my first meeting in May. And it happened to be an anniversary. And this fellow got up at the podium, was a very distinguished looking fellow. Looked like anybody's professor you ever want to see, you know. And you know, I couldn't believe. You know, I've always been around people talking about people, and I'm a healthy talk when everybody in this room thinks, well, that's my damn business, you know. I was, you know. So when this fellow was talking about his stuff like he was, I could believe that this man was saying the things that he was saying about himself, you know, about how he was such a terrible alcoholic, and he was spread across the street. He said, and the children would come up to him and tell him, say, come on, Mr. So-and-so, I'll help you across the street. And he said, they'd get him out of the street and leave him. And the cops would come, and he'd yell, ah, ah, you know, yes, you know. And I mean, the things that he was saying about himself, I could not understand. I could not believe. I've never heard nobody talk about themselves like that. I've heard you talk about everybody like that, but never about yourself like that, you know. And I said, oh, this man got to be lying talking about himself like that, you know. So I went to another meeting with him, and sure enough, this was a meeting that discussion meeting, you know, around table. So we sit down. I heard people sitting around, and they was talking about things that was happening and going on with them. I've never been around people like this. And I found myself slowly but surely going to AA meetings, you know. And I began to like those AA meetings. And I was in AA for about 2 years, you understand me? And somebody told me that they had a drug meeting in Washington, D.C., up at the VA hospital, you know. And I said, well, let me go up and see what that's all about. You know, I'm doing pretty good now in my job and counseling and all this crap, you know, and not drinking or not using any drugs and everything. I go up there to the red big room just like this, well lit just like this, you know. And I go up there now, suddenly get somebody say, meantime. So we all come in the big room there, the lights were on. So when we got in the room, it had all the damn lights out. And I had a lighter sitting on the table. And when somebody was out to speak, you had to go do one of these numbers to see who was talking, right? And I said, well, what the hell, meeting in, I think it was Maryland, you know, over in Maryland. So we went over after he knows about the meeting that's going over there. We went over in Maryland, and sure enough, they were having an NA meeting over there. And we got along with some of the fellas. One fella was in a wheelchair. I forgot his name now. Bob, I think it was Jimmy. And then there was another fellow from California, a little blonde-haired young dude, you know, from California. And we went over there to their meeting, early service meeting. And so, you know, I didn't know what the hell they were talking about, but they invited us, so we were there, you know. And we began to hook up with them. Then Virginia came in with us. And then Baltimore, Maryland came in with us. And then we began to used to have our little early services and our meetings. And we began to understand and talk to one another. And, boy, we used to have some hell of a meetings, you know. And down at my workplace, I had we had a conference room, and we used to have an area meeting, you know, for the areas to come to. And then a long queue. And bless his soul now, he's dead, this fellow from out of Virginia. I can't think of this dude's name now. But I thought his purpose was strictly to come to the meeting and serve with Doreen. And I was the chairperson. I had no idea what the hell I was doing. You know, because I see all your positions and we think we big shit and everything, you know. And I would get there and before I knew it, baby, I would be getting up on that table, calling to get up to me. And I'd be calling across the table. And this little fella used to get up. I can't remember their names to save my life. But he used to say, he said he's a non-negotiable. No, he would read whatever the tradition was. And then I think after reading them, he said these are non-negotiable. And we had to take care, and we had to take that shit. You know, I could see an ass, you know, everything. So we just had to take that shit, you know. Line off, that's what it was. He's dead now. Bless his soul, he's dead now. I said, and that was very peaceful, coming to that meeting just to get on my last goddamn nerve. But soon after that, I got a promotion, and they asked me to come over to the federal courthouse as a federal probation officer assistant. So I started carrying a badge in my pocket. And it's only through the fellowship that things begin to start opening up and start happening for me like they did. And I started a meeting. Thank you. Please talk into the mic. I started meeting over at the federal courthouse in Washington, D.C. And that was the first meeting they ever, NA meeting that they ever had, drug meeting that they ever had in the courthouse. And I had a lot of my some addicts that was on probation to celebrate their anniversary 2 or 3 years to add in the courtroom and invited the judges. And they were so surprised and so shocked, some of them had tears in their eyes because they couldn't believe that things was happening like it was. And some of them guys, which is all recidivism, who means they can't never get. They'll never be whatever the hell it is, you know. But anyway, they had 2 or 3 or 4 years. And I stayed at that courthouse, the federal courthouse, for, I retired after 21 years from the federal courthouse in Washington, D.C. So you can't tell me what can't happen for you, you know. And N.A. became my baby. And this is where I stayed. Anytime they called for me, at any time, whatever they needed or wanted me to do, I was right there. Even when they called me out of California to them conference, I will not lie to you. I didn't know what the shit it was all about or nothing. But I would sit there and I would give my goddamn opinion on whatever the hell was talking about. But I loved it. Anytime they called me to do anything, and I'm saying all this to say that if it's anybody in here now that has any doubt about anything, all you got to do is get up and do what you got to do. Here I am with an 8th grade education, and I didn't complete that. But you people are the ones that give me the strength and the courage to step on out there and do what I had to do. And I can only say that God works through people. And I always say, unless I can see the goodness of the Lord among the land and the river, then I will believe. It's when I come into rooms like this and see all my fellow NA people that I believe. That it's only through God that I'm standing where I am today. And if I can do it, anybody else can do it. I have no distinguish between AA, and I don't even get into that goddamn controversy. Wherever you are, if you get yourself together and you're doing it like you're supposed to do, fine with me. You know, I'm not, and if I'm somewhere if they ain't got NAD, I know how to sit myself as an AA and sit back and listen. You know, when I need something. You understand me? But NA is my baby. I got sponsors all around the country. And one thing about the mother, I do not pretend. And my thing now is talk straight. Talk straight. I don't give a damn what it is. Talk straight. I don't allow nobody to come to me sideways. Because just like it's your life, this is my life too. You know. And I'm not playing with my life today. In 2 more years, I'll be 70 years old. And it's only through the grace and people like yourself in this fellowship that I'm here like I am. And I'm still just as Christ here. Don't give a shit. Look, I probably nobody. So Tony Long was sitting there talking. I remember when we got together with D.C. We got D.C. started in N.A. And we went up to New York, you know. We had our basketball games going in New York and New Jersey, all the way up to Boston. You know, we had tournaments. And, I mean, she's never done nothing like this before, you know. And y'all remember Dot Sally, Grace, and all my girls. They go, oh, we used to have a good time. Right here, you know. I'll never forget when I first met Blaze. You know, Blaze big and everything. Blaze was talking shit, you know. And Blaze had scared acting for her. Oh, hello, what is your name? I said, well, what the hell is yours? And we were sitting in the women's meeting talking, and she was talking some shit. And I crossed her up, you know. I said, suck her up. And she looked. Looked at me like, you know, I'd say, now, yeah, I know this big bitch ain't coming. But come on, though, we got to talking, and I went on to my room, right? And I wanted a cigarette, and I didn't have a match or nothing, you know? And I said, where the fuck is it? And I went out in the hall, and I was walking down the hall. We was in Virginia somewhere, both of us supposed to be speaking. She was speaking at the banquet, I was speaking at the morning. The next morning. So I heard these kids talk and laughing, I mean crying and carrying on, and I went knock on the door. I said, did you have a match? And I'm like, come in. Oh, come here, come in. I said, well, what's the matter? And Blaze was sitting on the bed like this. And she said, we're going to leave y'all. I said, what's the matter? She looked at me. She said, you're scared of me, ain't you? I looked at her. I said, no, why should I be scared of you? She said, you're not scared of me. I said, no, I'm not scared of you. And she just cried and she just hugged me. And nobody had ever seen her cry before, she said. Because if anybody even knew Blaze, she had that trust, that twist that she had, you know. And I'll never forget when she went there, she said, will you forgive me when I speak tonight? I said, yeah. And I went downstairs to the banquet while she was speaking. And she started talking. And all of a sudden, she just started boo-hooing, crying. I mean, they were so shocked. They didn't know what was really going on with Blaze. But I think Blaze had some kind of spiritual awakening at that time. And we got to be just like this after that, you know. And we women, we really did stick together with one of them. Blaze, Hot, you know, all of us, we would get together with one another. You know, I had another little sponsor. Y'all know a lot about Carmelita. you know. And we all stuck to one another. And I'm the type, I do not stare at a rug. Because I don't want you to stare at me. And I don't like nobody talking to me no any kind of goddamn way.
Just
saying. So all you got to do is say something to me once or twice. And this motherfucker will not talk to me like that. Yeah, I should talk like him. I'm a king. But that's what keeps me doing what I got to do. And how I got this is in here. You know, and the church that was going to AA in D.C., even though they accepted us in AA, but they would get in there and they'd be talking so raw, you know, about they would shoot up and how many times they kick the thing, and people would be sitting there, and people would wonder what the hell is they talking about, family. And it was getting to the point where they couldn't hardly stand it, you know. And I go to a meeting, and I go somewhere, and but I respect it for their traditions and whatever they have in there, you know. And I don't know, I just think off this program, I'm jumping from here to there, because like I said, you know, my mind is not my friend sometimes. And but if it wasn't for this program, everything I got it through this program here, and through you people here, you know. And tell my life now, I don't worry about it. You know, I don't worry about a damn thing. You know, and my main thing now is talk straight. You come in here, you find out who you are, where you are, and what your purpose in life is. You know, study who you are. I'm still the same person that come in here with this deep feeling. Very sensitive and highly emotional. But see, I'm more aware of that today about myself than I was yesterday. So when things begin to play up in me now, I know what to do. If it's no more than taking a step or two back, that don't mean I gotta go back nowhere, all the way back nowhere. But I can take a step two back to get myself together, you know. And I know that things are not always gonna be like I want them to be. You understand? But that's because y'all have taught me this. And a lot of things ain't changed within me. And I will not sit up here and tell you, listen, I don't went through a whole lot of hell. You know, since I've been here, I've lost my mother, my father, my husband, my grandson. But the mother's still holding on. I'm doing things that I never thought I would do. But I'm still going on. It's my love. And all you got to do is keep the faith and concentrate on what you got to do and begin to learn how to talk straight. You know, when somebody comes sign beside me, I say, baby, come around here in front of me and talk to me. Don't slide up behind me behind my goddamn back or my side. I don't know what the hell you gonna do. You know, I gotta. I'm in full operation on my eyes. I can see. And on that, he said this in front of me. And I used to love the talk that I had with Jimmy K. Of course, I was on that government phone, you know, so I could talk and ask all kinds of stuff. And Jimmy would be there. And before, I think, what the year so before Jimmy died, Jimmy came to D.C. and spoke at our convention. And I don't know what a lot of y'all knew, but years ago, we used to have to bid on having conventions. Who in here remember that? I know you know what's going on. Y'all old timers here and there. We would go someplace, and then you had to be in a big old auditorium room by a certain time. And if you wasn't in there by a certain time, your ass got locked out. And the people who wanted the convention in their town, had to be there and be in that room by that certain time. And then everybody had to get up, protect whoever was bidding, had to present why they wanted to have the World Convention in their hometown. And I think it was Maryland, Virginia, and what's that other place down there where you stick your ass and the bees and all that? New Orleans. And all of them were presentation, you know, and everything, that who was going to be in for the last convention. That was the last time that we did it on convention, because the next year it went to England, and the world decided Greg would go there. And then we got there, and we were running, and baby, they had bees, they were saying, you come to New Orleans, you can kiss the Mardi Gras and all that shit there. And then the people from Virginia had to come on, the beaches and the water and the sand dunes. Well, I forgot what the hell Milton had, you know. And the little girl that we had speaking for, she said, oh, my God, she said, I don't know what I'm going to say. I said, go on, my baby, baby, you're going to be all right. I said, no. The silent horse. I said, it's going to be all right. So she got up and she said, well, it's nothing I can tell you, but we wanted the convention in D.C. because we got about 10,000 addicts who need help in D.C. They said, oh, my God, the whole place just went up. They had talking about the fun you could have everywhere else, but they didn't mention the main thing. The sick addicts that needed their help. And D.C. got that time. And God damn it, we didn't like it. D.C. But everything I have gotten, I don't care what you are about in here in this room. I don't care where you think you are or how you feel about yourself. It's growing time for you in here. It's growing time. Find out who you are. I don't reach out with nobody else. You know, like you said, oh, geez, we got to be like, oh, no, I don't want to be like no goddamn body in here. You know, I've learned how to be like Doreen. I've learned how to love Doreen. And y'all in here that know me, been knowing me for years. When I had teeth, I used to take them out at the convention. And I would tell y'all, ain't nothing falls here but these teeth, and I'd wave them up. I done lost 4 pair of damn teeth, and I swear I wouldn't buy no goddamn more. And I have. So the mothers still jump me when they take pictures, I go. What you see is what you get. And it's nothing that I wouldn't do for none of you all. You know, Tony and all my number out there and all paying them. And I'm motherfucking. I said, I've seen some of the country people and shit up there. I know when I had convention up there, up in the World Center. I said, these are some crazy motherfuckers up in the tumor. And the floor by a battle from the 24 world, the whole floor was up there, all the way down in the elevator. They just tried to feel it. Hey, you know, for the. No big eyes in here, and no little me. You know, we respect the new man and the old man coming through that door. You know, we're all here to learn. We're all here to grow. And you know what? When I really will be all right is when I'm 6 feet under. But as long as God has kicked me up in the morning, kicked me on the tips of my lips, and said, Doreen, here's another day for you. Fresh, clean, and unused, all yours. What are you going to do with it? The mother's going to step right on up on that day. I don't know what's going to happen or what, but I can tell you some things that happened to me in my life since I've been in this fellowship that I can't explain. And I will not try to stay in here and explain to you. Here I am with an eighth grade education, and I wound up being a federal parole officer. A sister, and got respect from the chief judge in the courthouse. Talk my shit. And tell them what I had to tell them. And put it back on the bed. Thank you, Dom. But all I am saying. You know, there's always something there to love. You know, there's always something there to learn.
you know, you got some know-it-alls that you can't talk about that picture. You understand me? But when I get to knowing you about that much, I know it's ready for time for me to be with me. You know, but as long as I'm on this God-given earth, there's work to be done. And if there's anybody that I can help, as long as it don't hinder me, I don't mind reaching out. But see, God did not leave away the universe and say, Doreen, you in charge of nothing. You ain't put that 5-minute timer there, you know, I'll keep going. I got 10 more minutes? All right, thank you. Well, I want to leave a few minutes open if anybody got any questions, because I just thank God for Jim Kay and who helped us to get NA started in D.C. and Tony and all of them in New York that we all got together and come up there with, you know, that we stuck together and we had some hell of a battles coming through at the time, you know. I don't know what kind of shit they got out there now, but I don't know what that, what is it? That good bucket or bucket something, whatever the hell they got going out there now, honey. I don't know what the hell's going out there now. But as long as the kid come to me, and if they need some help, I will try to help them. But like I said, God did not leave way to this universe to leave me in charge of nothing. You know. 2 more years, I'll be 70 years old, and I ain't running behind shit. I'll take it back now. You know. But if I can help anybody, I will help. I get phone calls every day from all over the country. And I don't mind doing my fair share. But when I get to the point where can't nobody talk to me or can't nobody tell me nothing, you know what? Hey, look, and I'll go off in a minute. For me, just don't step sideways. Goddamn, I won't get right in your ass. You know, and tell you in a minute. And I don't nobody believe and ain't nobody been through as much as I have been through, you know, since I've been in this fellowship. And it's only through the grace that I'm standing up here now with a heart attack and everything I've had. But as long as I got breath in my body and I keep on going, we got the meetings down there in America, Georgia. If y'all come through there, just come on through there and then just ask for Doreen. I'm in the book and everything, and I'm laid back down in the country. I got a lovely place and doing my goddamn thing. You know, when I go to D.C., I don't know what the hell be going on up there. You know, these children have got so goddamn crazy and everything, you know. What the hell is going on? You know. But I'm at a point, like I said, when I say it, I mean just what I say. Talk straight. Learn how to talk straight. Learn who you are. No matter about who Dick, Tom, Dick, and Harry is, but find out who you are, where you are, and what is your purpose in life. You know, and once you start taking the focus off of you, you're bound to slip. You know? And once, if you don't like a lot of shit coming to you, then you keep learning how to talk straight. What are you saying? Well, what do you mean? Well, ask me for whatever it is you want to know. I do not mind telling you with your nose there yourself. I'm putting my God in the business. You know? But if you want to know, I will tell your ass. You understand me? And you know the first thing they say to me? Oh, yeah, you're crazy. Mm-hmm. People can't handle the truth. Learn how to study people. You know, when people come to you, you know when somebody's coming to you sideways or sneaking. But when they come straight, then what is it? And if it's something on me, I'm always doing something on this darkness. It's always, I can learn. I just can learn. If it's no more, don't bring that shit to me, because I ain't but that goddamn shit no more. You know? So I know you will not come to me no more with that goddamn shit. I do whatever I have to do. I've been to church and I like for the gospel singing and everything, you know. And they try to give me work. I say, no, I don't work. And I go, I have my job cut out for me. And it's not in the church, you know. They kept worldly death, you know. And we had, I got a letter from one of my gals who's doing the fifth step in it. I said, now these people don't know where I'm coming from or what's that. I said, now I got to back them up off me. But my girl had in there, but I ain't dick and fucking, and you know, doing this. I said, well, look, this is the type of work I do.
I just sort of came off there, and then I read it. I ain't heard from that woman since.
There are all kinds of ways of doing God's work. And I'm not going to pretend about nothing I do. You know, I'm not going to tell somebody.
Don't come to me and tell me who you were kissing and everything. You wasn't no goddamn Mona Lisa.
You know, I'll get damned and I'm going to get with you again. You know, I may have done some shit that shit out of you. Because this is the shit that drags you and makes you feel so bad. This is the shit that makes you feel so bad. You know, can't nobody talk about you like you can. Can't nobody give it up like you can. You know, take your rock out of the goddamn hand. You know, and don't go along with you knowing about me.
I don't know what you say. Why you say? I say shit. If you talk straight, they won't have nothing to say.
So I'm going to just cut it off now because they keep on sending these damn signs at me. Goodbye, but you swear, baby.